You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
What is up? Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network alongside Matt Modica, Jake Seeley, and it's Friday, which means in the house, it's Greg Bynum, Red Felt Breaks. What's going on, Greg?
Not much. How you doing?
Your mic's not on, so I'm not doing great. Down, come on, you've been here before. No. Come on. There you go. It's down there. No.
You're getting demoted to the minors.
Over there. There's a whole box that's under you. Press the on button. There it is. And this is why he's only here on Fridays, people. What's up, man?
Not too much. You? How you doing?
I'm doing well. It's been a wild morning, but I'm doing well.
I can only imagine.
What, Matty Mo? How are you feeling, man?
I'm feeling fantastic. As you mentioned, it's Friday. The weekend's here. Looks like some good weather out there. So, hey.
You know, it's nice out. It's a little chillier than it should be.
This week's nice. Been cold.
Strong wind.
This has been a cold week.
There is.
I was at the airport this morning and it was very breezy.
Very breezy. Very breezy. It's a good word to describe it.
Hopefully, you weren't flying Southwest.
No, never.
Hopefully, it's not nearly as breezy down in Virginia Beach where Jake Seeley resides. What's going on, Jakey?
What's up, Greg? I don't know. I haven't been outside yet today.
It's like 1 o'clock, dude.
The beast is in it.
And I work.
What about lunch? What about lunch?
I ate lunch. I had leftovers at the house.
I had
spaghetti with ranch sauce.
Oh my god, that's the most disgusting thing ever.
If I lived in Virginia Beach, I think I'd take a little jog outside first. I know you're a jogger, Jake.
You wouldn't do it every single day. No, I'm not a jogger.
I don't know, man. It's nice out.
Sussman, I have a question for you.
Please,
Mr. McGee. You are a frequent traveler of the world.
I am.
You visit Europe a couple times a year.
Once or so.
When in Europe
and
on the beach, do you break out the Speedo?
No.
I don't
challenge.
I don't own a Speedo, but I have asked. I'm like, okay. So if I were to go to a topless beach... What am I allowed to look at here? What can I see?
You never ask.
You don't get caught staring.
There you go.
You got to train yourself.
Fair enough.
To be looking over there, facing that way, but actually
really
looking
over there. All right. So Pavona's like, if she looks, it's all fair game. So, all right, fair enough. We got a lot of baseball to get into and how we're going to do it, as we kind of like to do it on Fridays. Greg brought a box. I'll describe to you what it is in a moment. We'll take a look at some of the players. We'll go over some players I know that you have on your mind, Matt. Jake probably has on his mind. I certainly need to talk about players on my team. So while we're into that, what do we got here today, Greg?
All right. What we have today is Donruss Diamond Kings.
Okay.
It's Panini, so it's not an officially licensed product. So the only problem is there won't be the team logos on the cards, but... Like last week, this is a first-off-the-line product, so it's a little special.
Okay.
Every box has a autograph numbered to 20, and as we know, the lower the number, the better. And you get two autographs in here, and we're looking for you-know-who, Shohei Ohtani.
We're looking for Shohei Ohtani.
There's a lot of fun ones in this product, nicknames, different versions of cards, so, it'll be a lot of fun because every time you get Ohtani, can't go wrong.
I have a question, though. Being that there's no team logo on that, how much does that affect the value?
Oh, tremendously. I mean, a card that might be 200, so this might be 100. Mm-hmm. But nevertheless, an autograph's an autograph. People want... There's only so many of them right now. I mean, the product we're going to be doing next week, Bowman, just to give you an idea, which will have the best rookie of Ohtani Auto, has more than doubled in value since it first went on presale. It's trading at over 100% increase.
Even though he went 0 for 4 last night with 3 strikeouts.
Doesn't matter.
Just kidding.
He's the Bitcoin of baseball.
He is the Bitcoin. That's a great analogy.
That's
why they brought me here.
I'm going to be using that.
That's it.
If you haven't trademarked it, be careful.
Good one. I like that, Modica. What do you think of that one, Jake? The Bitcoin of baseball.
That's a catchy nickname.
Even Jake's in on it.
I got that from Jake, so that's pretty good.
I like it. That's kind of,
I don't know if you want to stick with that, though, because like 6 months from now, it might be like, well, now you kind of suck.
Well, just like Bitcoin.
Bitcoin.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, 100%. So I think how we'll do it, crack open a pack.
You can open a pack. Yeah, throw your pack. Just be careful with the autographs. No tapping on the table.
No tapping on the table.
I'll let you start today.
I'm going to start today.
Maybe
get whoever
good
we
luck.
Get in here, we're going to discuss.
Can I teach you how to open the pack before you do it?
I know how to open the
pack. Well, you don't rip
I know. I've watched you open so
I'm
many
gonna
packs.
I'm going to get you a scissor for next time.
I don't want a scissor.
Like the day you... No.
All Ohtanis go to me.
Here, I go for you.
You go like this. You hold and you pull.
Oh, all right. That was nice.
Practice makes perfect.
You're an expert. All right, here we go. These are nice. These are cool.
They're pretty cards, and they'll be like caricatures and drawings.
These are cool. You got a Lou Gehrig. That's pretty cool. Here we go. The second card in the deck is the hottest hitter in all of baseball, Matt Modica, and that is Mookie Betts. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say that we underrated Mookie Betts coming into the year, because I don't think we did.
No, not at all.
But I don't think anyone expected to get what we've been getting over the first two and a half weeks of the season.
I've been watching these games the last couple of nights. It does seem like there is a little bit of a launch angle to his swing. He's altered it maybe a little bit. But Mookie Betts was, at least the high-stakes leagues that I play in, was going anywhere from 3 to 10 consistently, anywhere in that range with everybody. So in my last main event that I did the day before the season, I had gotten Mookie in some draft champions, but I was never able to get him in the first round. I was picking more towards the second half of it. And I believe I had the 10th pick, and he was there. And it was between him and Harper, and I had a ton of Harper. So I grabbed Mookie.
That's not bad, getting him at 10.
I got to get a little diversification.
I think it worked out, obviously, very, very well for you. You're feeling, obviously, very, very good. It's funny. In my draft, the person that had 5 or 6 really wanted, it's keeper leagues, really wanted Scherzer, really wanted Stanton, and he got stuck with Betts. He's feeling quite good today.
Well, yeah, especially the way Stanton started.
Exactly. Jake, the next card I pulled in this deck.
Oh, I don't get to talk about Betts?
Oh, if you'd like to. I thought, everyone's going to say the same thing about Betts.
No, I'm going to actually say sell high.
Oh, that's okay. Oh, that's awesome. Tell me why.
The ISO's at 400. It's not staying there. His average is almost at 400. It's not staying there. I love Mookie Betts. I drafted him, I think it was 4th or 5th overall last year. Or no, 3rd. I had the 3rd pick, and I drafted him 3rd last year. The fact is, this is why Mookie Betts was there. But let's be realistic. It's the same thing after first week in selling high on Bryce Harper. I'm not saying you can do it and you can sell high, but he's never going to be this good for the rest of the season. Bryce Harper was never going to be as amazing as he started off for that first week. So go start fielding offers. You might be able to get back a Stanton and a pitcher for Mookie Betts.
My argument would be, who in the game could give you 30-30? Jake's right. This week, whatever, 3 homers in a game. He's leading off with a home run every night now. But, even now, even after 3 weeks, a month, wherever we're at, he still can hit another 25 homers and steal 25 bases.
And look at that lineup.
Yeah,
is there a hole in that lineup?
It's pretty scary.
I don't know if there's a pitcher I'd want to own on Boston besides Sal, but there isn't a hitter I wouldn't want on my team in Boston.
To Jake's argument, though, everybody on your team is always available for the right return.
Of course.
And as they should be. One guy that I want to know, Jakey, for you, if he's available, and that's Rhys Hoskins. Rhys Hoskins got off to this really hot start here this year. And we questioned coming into the year. I know I did. I saw him going in early drafts in the 3rd round. And I'm like, are we serious with this Rhys Hoskins, dude? Because I know how good he was in obviously August and September. But could he be this real? Could he be this good? Through 3 weeks or so, Jake, the answer is yes.
The answer is yes, and the answer is the power still isn't even there yet. I mean, we're looking at somebody who's 3-3. It's going to be great to get an additional 10 stolen bases from this guy. The average is there. The power is there. The best part about him is this is why I said this during the spring training, is if you look at if you take away the names and just looked at the minor leagues, Hoskins had a better minor league track record than Aaron Judge, and it's the fact that he doesn't strike out as much. He walks. I think his walk rate's up over 20% so far this year. And again, the power still hasn't shown up yet. Only 3 home runs. Hoskins legitimately has 40-plus home run power. It's going to come, especially if the weather gets warmer. Remember, he's playing in Philly. I think that you have to be thrilled with what he's done so far.
Doesn't he also have 3 steals already?
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that's incredible. But the thing about the card is it's black and white. So this is a variation. If you see, just to use the Gehrig, for example, it's color. This is all black and white. So just with the prisms that we've seen, the different colors, this is the Diamond Kings version.
I'm a fan of the black and white.
Yeah, it's cool. And this is a really cool deck of cards, by the way. This is really cool.
It's like they're all paintings, portraits.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
So someone put time in it, or they just printed a photograph in a different way.
Sure. Matt?
My thing with Hoskins coming into the year was, I never doubted the power. That was real. And you saw last night, he hit a home run 329 feet down that line. And that's good. That's the ballpark he plays in.
Absolutely. Yeah, of course.
81 games there.
It counts.
He was so fantastic in August. There was a correction in September.
Right.
And we always talk about, don't look at September stats, but if you want to go on that, he was facing lesser, and he was a little older for the levels in the minors. The walk percentage has always been there. He's always had a good eye. So if you got him in the third or fourth round, you are feeling very good right now.
Absolutely so. So let's continue on. Let's open another pack. Talk about continuing talking about some of these guys that Greg finds. This is two Gregs, two G's at this table. That's why you can't sit here, Matt, because your name's not Greg with two G's.
It's three, Matt
three
with two G's.
Two G's at the end. Yes. Three G's total, yeah.
All right, we got Robbie Cano.
All right.
I think he's doing...
Not interested.
Then we got a few Hall of Famers, but this is one I want to show everyone. This is a Diamond King card.
Okay.
And you see it's got the raised felt.
Sure.
Red felt.
Ooh, look at that. A little red felt,
no less. Yes,
that,
I need to have one made
of
me.
You grabbed it a little too aggressive.
Where's the tablecloth, Greg?
It's been a day, Jake. It's been a day.
It's the linen. No, it's felt. I'm sorry, not a tablecloth, not linen. I don't know what I'm saying. All right, moving on.
Is it felt?
It is red felt. Oh, Jolton Joe DiMaggio. No.
All right, can we get to the players, please?
I mean, they're all Hall of Famers. All right, here's the guy.
Italian-American.
Right. Damn right.
Greg Allen on Cleveland.
Come on, dude. You're going to be Greg Allen?
You want to talk about Ty Cobb? You want to talk about Paul Wehner, Chipper Barnett?
I don't want to talk about any of those players.
These are all guys that are dead.
Throw me the pack. I picked the great pack for our purposes earlier. And now I'm going to do it again.
You didn't even talk about Verlander in your pack.
I didn't want to talk about Verlander.
Why not? Or Harrison Bader.
Harrison Bader's in that pack?
No, it's Anthony Banda.
Oh, like Harrison Bader is not in that pack. All right, continuing on. I can't. This is very tough to open this pack.
Oh, we got our first autograph. Here we go. This is the special one.
Okay.
Richard Urena, numbered /20.
Okay.
Like I said, number 2/20.
Right.
This is one of those cards. This is only in this product.
Right.
If you could zoom in on it just for a second so I could show you. It's got purple on it. So it's a blue and purple where the other ones do not have the purple and it's numbered /20. So this is the chase.
That's pretty cool.
This is the chase. It's not Otani, but
maybe the other one will be.
Yeah, but Arena hasn't done anything, so we don't know. He could be bigger than Otani for all we know.
These packs are very tough to open.
I think you're
I'm usually pretty good at it. These happen to be very tough.
Can I give a Justin Verlander fun fact?
Fine.
As a starting pitcher in the regular season.
By the way, there's another Justin Verlander for you.
He has a 100% left on base percentage with the Houston Astros. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Well, how about talking about the Astros? What about Charlie Morton?
Charlie Morton is dealing. Look, that whole team. Everybody except for Dallas Keuchel has like a 33% strikeout percentage or more.
Greg, I got the same card two times in a row, back to back.
And Keuchel,
do I win something?
And I'll say this real quick. Keuchel's probably a really good buy low right now.
How come?
I think, look, he started off a little. He didn't have, excellent performances to date yet. The game versus the Mariners was vintage Dallas Keuchel. I think if healthy, only thing I would be concerned about Keuchel is health. And I think this year he's going to do everything he can to make the start every fifth day. He'll be a free agent after this year. I think he's a hell of a pitcher. The only thing that's impeded him is health.
Sure. Absolutely.
Here's the thing, to go with that, with what Matt's saying, Keuchel, I'll liken to Hendricks a couple of years ago, is people forget that they're not elite strikeout guys, but they're so good in their ratios. And then as soon as the season rolls around, I feel like people forget that. And they're like, oh, yeah, this guy doesn't get any strikeouts.
Right.
Well, that's who he is. And it's like, I don't understand like where you get the disconnect from like who you know this guy is, then the season starts and they get mad about not having strike.
Did we lose Jake there?
No, I don't think we lost him.
No. Oh,
I think you just finished talking.
Oh,
while that was going on, we found our first Shohei Ohtani.
Yay.
$3 card.
Great. I also pulled this one out, and I want to know, Jake, what do you do about Josh Donaldson? Who obviously started the year not right. That shoulder was clearly not right. He's now on the disabled list, trying to get everything okay. It looks Toronto's obviously much better than we expected. And when he comes back, maybe he doesn't get traded after all. If you're a Josh Donaldson owner, can you do anything but just hold?
I don't think you can. No, unless you're... Yeah, I mean, if you're selling right now, you're going to be selling low. But this is the thing. I don't have Josh Donaldson. I have zero shares of him. I wasn't taking him where he's going because people were taking him as the 150-game Josh Donaldson. I thought there would be a discount, but there wasn't. And that the fact is you had to be concerned about this going into this year. Like, I would be surprised. It's just you talk about real baseball terms to see what kind of contract he gets after this year on top of it. Because initially, people were saying, another 4 years, $25 million per. I don't know if he even gets that at this point.
Yeah, no, look, when healthy, he's fantastic. We saw what he did in the second half and all that. Latest report I heard, it was this morning or last night, that he feels great. He's throwing in this extended spring training wherever he's at right now. But it's you know, it just seems every year there's something. And last year was the leg. Now, the shoulder is not a good sign.
No, it's not. It's recurring at this point. It's.
I mean, maybe I would buy if I got a really good discount.
I don't know that I would, Matt. I don't know that I would. Like Jake said, he has zero shares of him. I have zero shares of him. Let me be honest with you.
I'm with you.
I didn't really consider him at any point either.
Me either.
He was never a guy that was on my radar at all. Greg Bynum's here. Red Felt Breaks. Matt Modica, Jake Sealy, they're here as always. I'm Greg Sussman. I'm hanging out too. Stick around. More card breaking and opining coming up next.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman say hey.
It's Carton and Friends.
Dez Bryant is going to be a New York Giant. And I'm not a Giant fan. When that happens, and I say this to you too as an Eagle fan,
yeah.
The Giants become the favorite to win the Super Bowl.
We do have Dez. He wants to talk to Corey real quick. Is that cool?
Yeah, of course. Dez Bryant is going to be the next New York Giant. Dez, it's Carton and Friends. Thanks for coming up. What do you want to say to Corey?
Suck up, dick!
Weekdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern on FNTSY Radio and on your popular podcast providers.
Join the family at Modell Sporting Goods. Visit your nearest Modell's and sign up for our MVP Rewards program to receive insider deals all year round. Earn points on every purchase when you use your MVP card to earn Modell's cash back. It's our way of thanking you for being a loyal customer. Upon signing up, receive 10% off your purchase and 15% off your next purchase. It's that simple. Plus, new MVPs this month are eligible to win a $500 Modell's gift card. When you gotta play more and pay less, you gotta go to Mo's.
We're talking trash.
Sweet, sweet trash.
You know who I liked when I was a kid? I think he actually killed someone and got away with it. Jimmy Superfly Snooker.
I think he didn't get away with it because he's dead.
And I also used to like the guy, you look like a fatter Scott Engel. The guy who used to eat the turnbuckle.
Oh, George the Animal Steel.
Yeah, he doesn't look a little like Scott?
I never thought of it like that.
That guy, I gotta Google this guy.
Yeah, he does. He does look like Engel.
So that's our sensitive obituaries for the day.
Listen live on the FNTSY Radio Network and on popular podcast providers.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-292-8137 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-292-8137 for your free author submission kit. Again, that's 800-292-8137.
So we're talking about it during the break. What? What, JJ?
Breathe in, breathe out.
Hate the song.
He's singing.
Not very well.
I'm mocking this song.
Yeah.
God, I hate that song. You good?
That's right.
I just hate that song.
That's very funny. We were talking about during the break. Greg and Matt were talking about it. And that was Matty Whistler from last night. And Whistler comes in and pitches really, really well against the New York Mets. And will this? He took the rotation spot of Anibal Sanchez. He's a former highly regarded prospect. You would think after last night's success, he probably gets another shot at it next week. Matt, are you going to pick up your namesake this weekend?
No, I'm not going to pick. I think next week he probably faces the Nationals as well. So I don't know if that's a good start there. Look, they did go with him. It's going to be interesting to see how everything shakes out with the Braves. The guy that I was on early in drafts back in the, you know, November, December time, even January, was Luis Gajara.
Right.
That was the guy.
Sure.
I think that's still one of their best arms that they have. So that's going to be interesting. I believe he's starting a rehab.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he's got into that. So, but I know a guy that Greg wants to talk about, the other Greg, Soroka.
Yeah.
He's a guy
that picked up this week.
Yeah, no, because it seems like his ascension is imminent. from the prospect people that I do follow. And he's like what they would consider, I guess, polished. I think Gohara's upside is much more, but he's more of like a polished, major league ready pitcher.
So whose spot does he take? Whistler's?
Yeah, I don't. Well, see, the thing with Whistler
is there's so many guys there.
Lefties out. That's been his problem throughout. So
I mean, you got Kobe Allard, you got Max Fried, all these guys. I mean,
Max Fried, I got to see in the Arizona Fall League this year back in November, and he was electric. But I don't know how he's going to translate.
Jake,
yeah. So Whistler, the problem is he's a two-pitch pitcher. That's the thing. He might be slated better for a bullpen down the road. Obviously, right now, maybe holding on to a spot, as I said, with Gohara coming in. But if you look at it, my thing is, I joked about it last night. I said, if you know anything about the Mets, you throw out the pitcher that they've never seen before or only seen rarely.
Sure.
That's tongue-in-cheek, but that's true about a lot of teams. A lot of teams struggle against pitchers who just got called up, who they haven't seen in a long time. There's a reason we talk about the success of Korean and Japanese baseball pitchers, because you don't have a book on them. So just in general, it is very risky, especially if they only go out for a short stint and the pitcher doesn't have ability. But Whistler does at least have two decent pitches, and that's why it was a smart start. I'm with Matt. I'm not really looking to pick him up because I don't know if he's there for a long term, and I would not play him against high and off.
Yeah, and just talking about last night's game, I tweeted out last week and I got a little shade for it, but you know, Matt Harvey is the weakest link. If his name wasn't Matt Harvey, he wouldn't be on your team right now. If he's on, it's time to say goodbye.
I speculated earlier this week that they pull Harvey from the rotation, they leave Wheeler in, Jason Vargas comes off the DL, and Harvey goes to the bullpen. You heard what Harvey said after the game. Old Andy Pettitte, I'm a starting pitcher.
See, I don't like that. At this point right now, you got to be a team player.
Of course.
The team's off to a great start.
I'll do whatever you want me to do to win. Bullpen,
well, maybe... he knows he's a free agent, too. I mean, you move him to the bullpen, you know his contract shot.
Yeah, but they even mentioned about him going to the minors. My point is this, we've seen it with guys like Danny Duffy. Look, Matt Harvey is much more high profile. He was the man for, two seasons, whatever. But the thing is, maybe going to the bullpen, he gets some confidence, rediscovers something, works on a different pitch. It's worked in the past, and it shouldn't be something that he shuts down.
The problem is I don't think he has the ability to be anything more than what he was. And what he was, the problem is, let's go back to it. And we said this at the beginning, or at least I was saying, and a lot of people were echoing the same sentiment, is the Thorascalis syndrome. It's like we don't have anybody who's come back from this and been great. We've had Jaime Garcia was the best case scenario we had before this season. Tyson Ross is starting to look good, but he's not the Tyson Ross we used to know. If Matt Harvey doesn't have the speed, he doesn't have that slider, which he doesn't, you're right, Matt. He has to do something to change. I don't know if he's going to be willing. I don't know if he has the ability to change, and that's the problem. So something has to be done. I mean, the biggest thing is take him out of the rotation.
He's got to leave the rotation at this point.
I was surprised he left him in for six innings.
Yeah.
The one good thing, too, we saw it with Mickey Callaway out of camp. Wheeler did not get that spot. Originally, it was going to be Lugo. He wasn't committed to the Mets of the past. He's going
100%
for the future.
And listen, this is a team that, as you said, off to a very hot start this year. They have options with Lugo and with Gazelman, and certainly Vargas coming off the DL, who they give a lot of money to. He's not just going to stick with Harvey. It's just not going to happen. And if Harvey wants to act like this after the game, he'll pull him.
And to that point, if Vargas is garbage, he should be
sit his ass down
he should
too.
Just be like a
long
mop-up
man.
Guy. Long yeah. You know, somebody like that.
Sure. You pull anybody interesting there?
Yeah, I pulled a few guys. Max Scherzer.
Scherzer and Kershaw tonight.
Yeah, yeah,
10th time in MLB history that two players have won 3 Cy Young Awards.
We got Bauer and Bundy earlier, and then Scherzer and Kershaw.
Main event.
Nice.
Yes. All right.
Who do you like tonight?
I'll take Kershaw.
Overwhelming anyone.
I'll take Kershaw.
I'll take a Scherzer. Dodgers are struggling a little bit more than the Nationals are.
I don't know. Yasmani Grandal's hitting, so I'll go with Kershaw.
I'll lean Kershaw, but Kenley Jansen blows it once again, unfortunately.
Ooh.
who's going to play third base tonight for the Dodgers? Monday?
he played well
homered,
the other night.
Right?
He homered the other night, yeah. Yeah. All right, I got Chris Bryant here. He was a name, Jake, that I've been wondering, because I don't own Chris Bryant anywhere. So I've been wondering, how Chris Bryant's doing this year. And I asked the guys yesterday, how's Chris Bryant doing? And they said, we think he's getting on base, but not really doing much else. So I don't own Chris Bryant anywhere, like I said. He's currently batting .328. He's got 2 homers, 10 runs, 10 RBI. That's okay. It's pretty solid.
Yeah, he's pays for about 90 plus of both of those. The home runs, you want to see a little bit more pop, but again, it's early. The average is over 300. I'm not even concerned about Chris Bryant. Chris Bryant's one of the players that I don't ever check in on.
Right.
Yeah, I think Chris Bryant was too. A little undervalued actually going in.
I agree.
And now
with
that
you.
He's batting third as opposed to second last year, that was the main difference last year. He had about 73 RBIs or something like that. And if you get a bat third, the RBIs will come. He'll get them. And I just think he's a hell of a player. He really had excellent numbers last year, minus the RBIs.
I just pulled a Ryan McMahon card.
Can I say something to people out there? I got zero shares of McMahon, even my draft champion.
Yep.
I always missed that. I waited around too late or whatever. But he's getting dropped in all my 15 teams. He's getting dropped in quite a few of my 15-team leagues. He's a guy I went out and got last week. I'm picking him up this
year.
I'm going to hold.
You're going to hold.
He's worth the hold. It was at some point in the next month or so, I think it works itself out where he does get every day at bats in Coors, and I want that this summer.
Jake, are you still holding on to Ryan McMahon?
It depends on the size of the league. 12-teamers, probably not. I mean, because we say this a lot of times before about, you know, it works itself out, but then we have, you know, anomalies where all of a sudden a team stays healthy. I know it's a football comparison, but, you know, look at the Chargers last year, all of a sudden staying healthy for the entire year. You never know. You want it, and I agree with Matt, that as soon as something happens to somebody, it'll clear itself up. But just what if? What if nothing happens, and Ian Desmond is probably the biggest factor in this, stays healthy 150 games?
I agree with you. It has to be 15 teams. If I wasn't clear on that, it's a 15-team hold.
Yeah. By the way, can I ask Matt a quick question?
Sure. Go ahead.
Your big take, Lee, what's the minimum games in a new season that somebody needs to be eligible at the position?
It is 10 games.
Okay.
See, I like that better. That's a lot better.
I heard because there was a debate. 3 games. I was like, what?
I have a one game.
No, see, 3 is way too little. 5 is still cutting it a little bit too little. But I saw there was a debate on Twitter the other day with a couple of guys and, you know, labor and talent and stuff like that, saying that 15 and 20 is way too much, and I agreed with that.
It's killing me. Like, it's Scott Kingery, he's playing, like, every position, but he's got, like, 4 starts everywhere.
Yeah,
but if he does
he'll get there.
I understand.
If he switches positions in the middle of the game, doesn't that help him?
Get there.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm getting a little impatient. That's all.
10 is good. 10's the happy medium.
I agree.
I think 10 is right, you know.
I'm with you.
Like Anthony Rizzo shouldn't get second base eligibility for 2 games.
Hey, Jake, is Nolan Arenado come back tonight? Do I have that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So this turns for this series.
All right, so there you go. So the suspension for Arenado is complete.
Against Kyle Hendricks.
He comes back tonight against Kyle Hendricks. I am benching Kyle Hendricks today, by the way.
You should.
Thank you.
That worked perfect for him. He got benched. He sat down for Scherzer. And Strasburg.
Right.
And now
he knew what he was doing.
Yeah, so, now he comes back for the first home game at Coors.
So I actually brought that up, and I was wondering what all three of you guys thought. Greg, I'll start with you. So you never see a guy appeal and then be like, a hitter, suspended for 5 games, and then just drop the appeal. Like, you know what? I'm going to take the 5 games. Unless he's a little banged up, he's got a personal issue, something like that. We haven't heard of anything from Arenado. Why do you think Arenado just dropped the appeal?
There probably is something going on. And doesn't want people to know about it. Something minor, something.
Okay. Jake, any idea?
It's probably to that same degree. And then what Matt said, he also avoided some pitchers on the road. You know, you just come back. You get a few days off. You get back to 100%. You avoid two fearsome pitchers. You come back home for your first game back. And it just kind of set up nicely for him.
I think the schedule just worked out perfect. He missed those two pitchers.
Well, yes.
Three games. And then
but when you're a player like Arenado, you don't want to miss those pitchers.
But wait a minute.
He was not really going to get – that was a big fight. I don't think he was going to get that suspension lessened.
And no, maybe one game.
Yeah, maybe he gets one game.
Right, but the team facing Strasburg and facing Scherzer are going to be like, we need our best player.
I think it's a team decision, too.
Obviously.
I don't think it's just Arenado saying, you know.
Obviously.
So I think it works out perfect for them. Look, they're playing the Cubs
It's a decent point, Greg, but you can look at it both ways. I mean, you got some of those teams out there that have the opportunity to rejigger the rotation after the All-Star break, or somebody gets hurt and they go down.
Right.
And they throw out junk against Scherzer because they're like, we're not winning this anyway.
True.
But then you have some teams that go out there and say, you know what, if we can knock this team off with Scherzer, let's do it. So I think it kind of depends on just how the team looks at it.
All right. Greg, who'd you pull there?
I pulled Andrew Benintendi.
Andrew Benintendi
he looked good last
had
night.
A big He's night last hot. Night. Jake?
No, I was just saying, yeah, he's hot right now. Yeah, that's all I said.
He's gotten hot. I mean, the Red Sox are just scorching hot. The best throw like in like, MLB history, sitting here at 17-2, they go out to Anaheim and just destroy them for three games. The bats are on fire right now. And really, it's all the Red Sox, Matt, that's getting it done.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's talking Mookie Betts and stuff. J.D. Martinez is unconscious. He's
and nobody's talking about J.D. Martinez.
I mean, he's not hitting the home runs. They're like doubles, and he's got like multiple games with doubles now, and he's just getting on base pretty much every at-bat. But Benintendi, he hit a really nice homer. I think he got a single or a double. It was, you know, he's getting form. The Red Sox lineup, Frank's boy, Rafael Devers. You know, he had a grand slam the other night. A
couple of singles, yeah.
I think he's got like 18 RBIs or something like that.
How about Hanley playing like a 25-year-old, not a 35-year-old?
Hanley's been one of the best buys I had this year.
100%.
I mean, I got him for like $2 in these auction leagues, these mixed auctions that, you know, aren't cheap entries. And getting him for two, getting him for nine in my AL only, or in a draft, you got him like the 21st round.
Right. The thing with Hanley was 2 years ago, Greg, he was healthy and he was awesome. Last year, he's banged up. Now he said, listen, I'm healthy. I'm ready to go. We just didn't believe him.
He just ran into that wall. Remember how good he was?
Of course.
He ran into the wall.
Of course.
Never was the same.
That's one of the ones, Greg, where, you know, I told you I always ranked in my projections.
Yep.
Like, that was one of the ones where I was like, I want to make my projections higher.
Yeah.
That's one of the, but the fact is, I was only projecting it for 120 games.
Sure.
But it's going to be interesting. Like, say Hanley stays healthy and is just a beast all year long.
Right.
At that threshold, whatever it is, 400 and something at bats.
Are they gonna, right.
That's $22 million. And I know we say, oh, it's the Red Sox, they have money. But they got J.D. Martinez next year for 25 or something more.
You've been saying that for a while.
It's going to be interesting.
And it limits their moves that they can make elsewhere, whether it's a trade or free agent.
Yeah,
I mean, we'll go back to we were joking about the Ruzny Castillo thing, but Matt brought up the point. It's like, that's part of the reason he probably never comes up. If they want to make an acquisition at the deadline, I mean, something like that's going to hamper them.
So I just pulled a really interesting card, Greg. I know you did as well. For me, I pulled a guy that has 5 home runs this year. Middle infielder. He's got 5 home runs. Like, oh, that's pretty good. 10 runs scored. 8 RBI. Okay. Problem is, he's batting .231.
Guess who?
I'll let you guess who in 1 second. The OBP is .286. And I'll give you the one stat after Jake guesses. Who do you think it is, Jake?
Joe Panic?
It's no, not Joe Panic.
What does he have, 5 homers?
Sorry, he's got 5 home runs, though.
I say Shinsu Chu.
It's a middle infielder.
He said infielder.
It's a middle infielder.
I just heard 5 homers.
You guess?
It's not Albies.
No, he's batting higher than .231.
That's why.
5 homers. Is it the guy in the Cardinals, DeJong?
It is Paul DeJong. Listen to Paul DeJong. Sorry, Jake. The K percentage is 42%. He is striking out 42% of the time.
Is that leading the league or Stanton striking out more?
That's a really good question.
Ian Happ is definitely, I think Ian Happ's got to be leading the league.
How'd you correct yourself, Greg? What did you say?
Paul DeJong?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you corrected it with the right way. DeJong, yeah.
Thank God. Paul DeJong is third in K percentage, behind Ian Happ at 47%, and Miguel Sano at 44%.
Well, hold on, let's sink in for a second. Happ's almost striking out every other at bat.
Yeah.
And it's crazy that first pitch of the season, he homered. I thought that happened a couple of leagues, and
right.
We need him. I don't want to see him go to the minors.
Right.
I mean, I keep tweeting, he keeps striking out,
sure.
But it's pretty crazy. At some point, he's going to get demoted if this continues.
There you go. So, Paul DeJong, how confident are you in him, Jake, kind of bouncing back a little bit? I know the power's been there, but the average has obviously been pitiful.
That's always been the concern, is that the aggressive plate approach. So I'm not that confident. But, I mean, if you're taking him as your middle infielder for power and you understand that the average isn't going to help you, that's what you do in some league. You can't have everything you want in every single position.
Are you a Paul DeJong guy?
No.
Okay. Who do you got over there?
I got an interesting one. Nick Williams.
That was a great transition, by the way.
Nick Williams. Yeah, how do you feel about the Phillies outfield? I mean,
I think it's a shame, though, that, you know, when they signed Carlos Santana, they got other really good young athletic outfielders that are being like pigeonholed. And now you got Kingery playing everywhere.
I don't get the the whole Santana signing at all. Why would you move Hoskins to the outfield from first base?
When you got Aaron Altair and Nick Williams as well.
Yeah.
Unless Franco gets benched because J.P. Crawford's locked in at this point, Obedo Herrera has a job that's not going anywhere. Hoskins isn't going anywhere. So I think it's, I don't want either one of them. I had both of them at the start of labor. I dropped Williams, and I'm close to dropping Altair too. Is the fact is, it's going to be whoever's hot this week and whoever's hot the next week, and whoever's, it's just, it's going to be infuriating the entire year.
It's really interesting, Jay, because you pointed out some of these names. JP Crawford's gotten hot. Cesar Hernandez has been fantastic.
Cesar Hernandez has
spot.
Been fantastic.
He's been awesome.
What is he, five steals already?
I don't know if he has
five steals. He does
five steals. Right. So he's got five steals. The OBP's at like 430. He's just getting on base in an incredible
JP
clip.
JP Crawford is a guy to keep on your watch list. I'm monitoring.
I think so, too. And I think it's interesting because those two guys, the two that you pointed out, like, wow, Scott Kingery's probably going to take one of their jobs, both getting off to really hot starts. Miguel Franco, the one, as Jake points out, that you're really going to have to be worried about. Let's take a break here. When we come back, just remembered this, Virginia Zakis is going to join us. Inside Injuries. Stick around. We'll be back after this.
Right for you.
Thanks.
I think someone has a crush on you.
Okay, who?
Let's make a game of it. One of these is a lie. He's 6'4". He collects stuffed exotic birds. He spends his free time trying to save lives.
Are you talking about Kevin?
Yeah! He's a registered bone marrow donor. Last week he got a call. He might be a match.
He's so cute. Oh, yes.
You could be a life-saving match for a patient with blood cancer. Learn more at dkms.org.
Fantasy Baseball Hour with Al Melchior.
Aníbal Sánchez, this looks like a much more serious issue here. He's got a hamstring injury. He was placed on the DL. He hurt himself while running during warm-ups and was down for several minutes and had to be carted off the field. Looks like there's going to have to be some sort of long-term replacement. Max Fried has looked really good so far in his first couple of starts. Lucas Sims would be another option. If I had to speculate right now, I'd say probably Fried.
Listen live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network and on popular podcast providers.
Are you new to Daily Fantasy? Are you a veteran? Either way, you can better your chances of winning money, and lots of it, by going to DailyRoto.com. Multiple people have become millionaires thanks to the guys at Daily Roto. Why not take advice from the experts? You can become a millionaire too. Just go to DailyRoto.com to rock Daily Fantasy Sports.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Ohtani Auto, it's trading at over 100% increase.
He's the Bitcoin of baseball.
He is the Bitcoin. That's a great analogy.
That's,
I like that.
That's why they brought me here.
I'm going to be using that.
That's it.
If you haven't trademarked it, be careful.
Good one. I like that.
That's a catchy nickname.
It's even Jason on it.
I got it, you know, I got that from Jake, so that's pretty good.
I like it.
I don't know if you want to stick with that, though, because like 6 months from now, it might be like, well, now you kind of suck.
Just like Bitcoin's dropped.
Bitcoin.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Weekdays, only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today, Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Greg Sussman, Jake Seeley, Matt Modica, and in on Fridays, as he likes to do, it's Greg Biden. Red Felt Breaks. Follow him. Follow Twitter at Red Felt Breaks.
Instagram too.
Instagram as well. Big ups to our girl Sharon today as well.
Yes. Our dear friend Sharon.
Our dear friend Sharon, the Black Jaded Wolf.
Yes.
So, thoughts to her today. But right now, I want to bring in someone we normally talk to on Thursdays. I had to push it back till Friday this week. It's completely our fault. And with that, let's do it. Virginia, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are y'all doing?
We're doing really good. Virginia Zakis, inside injuries. And we were just talking about it during the break, so I want to get right into it. Tywan Walker hurt his forearm. Guys, I'm fine. It's no big deal. I left for precautionary reasons. 2 days later, he needs Tommy John surgery. We understand that Tywan Walker is going to be out for a year plus. But my question is more about the injury itself. I felt like when guys hurt their elbows and needed Tommy John surgery, we normally just put in a year, right? They'll be back in about 12 months. And in the last 2 years or so, that timeline's gotten even bigger, I think. Normally, you hear technology and you're like, all right, it'll probably get shorter. But for whatever reason, when it comes to starting pitchers in particular, this process has now gone to 14 months, 16 months. Tywan Walker got his Tommy John surgery this week. I believe it was Wednesday, and it's April. People don't expect him back to at least the All-Star break next year. Why has this timeline for Tommy John surgeries gotten worse, Virginia?
So I think the biggest reason is that as teams start to study these surgeries more, they found that, you know, waiting closer to 14, 16 months leads to much better long-term recovery. Teams are being a lot more cautious. They're also finding that an innings limit, maybe about 120 innings, is ideal when a player returns. So even in their first season, pitching, you know, 200 innings as a starter, even if their elbow is feeling great and they're fully recovered.
Yeah, I guess that does make sense, Greg, right? Like, you're out there for a long time. We have a lot more guys to have a case study on. And ultimately, they figured out, yeah, maybe he'll be effective if we rush him back. But in the long term, it might not be nearly as effective. Clearly, that's what these teams are figuring out as we get deeper. But I know you had a question for Matt in regards to Tylan Walker.
Who's going to take a spot in the rotation?
You know what? I'm not even sure right now. I haven't really been up on that. Bad job by me. But the Diamondbacks rotation is looking pretty good, all things considered.
Yeah, Patrick Corbin could be the most valuable pick of the draft right now.
So I just read that Matt Koch could replace him in the rotation. I think it's Koch. It could be Koch or Coach, but I think it's Koch.
Interesting.
Matt Koch could replace Tylan Walker in the rotation. I think it's all lined up. Jared Porter is the assistant general manager. He said Koch. He suggested Koch, so we'll see. Well, he actually will get the first crack. He's scheduled to replace Tylan Walker here today. Matty.
I want to talk about a guy that I did buy into this season.
Okay.
It's April. He started off horrendous, as he does every April, it seems. That's Byron Buxton. The migraine thing concerns me anytime, you know, with the brain, the head, and something like that. So what should we be really concerned about this, Virginia, or is this maybe something that, you know, give him the 10 days off and he'll be fine?
Yeah, I think at this point he's a huge wild card. Kind of like concussions, you just don't really know how a player is going to respond to having migraines. Last year he missed 2 weeks with migraine issues. It sounds like he's starting on a new treatment plan right now that hopefully is going to help him out, and it's possible he's back within 10 days. But if it doesn't work as well as they hope it, he could miss a month or two. We just really don't know how he's going to respond.
And what, like, brings this on? Is there something in particular or how this gets, like, so severe?
Yeah, it can be different for everyone, but there's certain triggers like stress or sleep deprivation that can cause it. And everything I've read about Byron Buxton, it seems like they don't really know what his trigger is. So in this case, unfortunately, I don't know. And it sounds like the team doesn't really know either what's causing his issues.
All right. So I know, Greg, you wanted to ask about a guy that's always injured, a guy that, for whatever reason, finds his way in the DL seemingly every April. So you wanted to ask about your man, Rich Hill.
Yeah. What's going on there? How long do you think he's going to be out for, and what do you expect?
I think in this case, it could be just, you know, maybe 10 to 14 days.
Okay.
It sounds like this time he cracked his fingernail, which it just needs time to heal. But if he returns too soon, it can lead to a blister. And we all know about his long history of blister problem. This is actually the fourth time he's landed on the DL 2016 with finger issues. So they need to be very cautious with him. And blisters are always be a concern, but this one specifically should only keep him out a couple weeks.
And what makes this interesting, if it does keep him out longer, does Walker Buehler get the call? Is it Brock Stewart to just fill in?
Right. I can't imagine they go to Walker Buehler.
I think it's too intriguing. Even Brock Stewart is an intriguing spot guy.
Okay.
Because if somebody else goes down and he earns that next man up thing.
Right.
But, I mean, ultimately, I think at some point, I agree, not now, but in the not-too-distant future, if one of these guys in the five, it will be Walker Buehler.
Well, he'll definitely get the call-up because they're going to want to save innings later in the year as well. I mean, I don't see Kershaw pitching what he normally does to keep him fresh.
I don't think they're going to waste an option on Walker Buehler, though.
No, but as you go along with the season, I mean, do you really think Ryu Maeda?
No.
Once he comes up, he's going to be in there.
Correct. But as of now, I don't think it's something they do now in April.
I think it's more June-ish.
Yeah, I agree on June.
We're all in agreement there. We're talking to Virginia Zagas, inside injuries. And speaking of guys that are always hurt, well, Freddie Freeman got hit again in that wrist. And everybody in the fantasy community, every Braves fan was just like, are you effing kidding me with this thing? Hitting the exact same spot he was hitting last year. He broke his wrist. He was out for 2 months. And everyone breathed a huge sigh of relief when he was in the lineup yesterday. All the tests came back clean. But I have to ask you, at At one point, Virginia, is he just going to swing and all of a sudden he's going to be like, oh my God, I just broke my wrist? Is it that scary with Freddie Freeman, or are we out of the woods here?
No, I think in this case, we're out of the woods for right now. But what's a little bit concerning is if you rewatch both of the plays where he got hit in the wrist, it's in the exact same spot, and the way that he kind of turned into the pitch, he's, you know, really putting himself at risk. In this situation, really, we're just looking at inflammation, a little bit of swelling and soreness over the next couple of weeks. But it's more of an issue of him not getting out of pitches that are coming, you know, right where his left wrist is there to get hit. So.
Honestly, I feel like we'll take that. Just inflammation, no big deal. We're not petrified of it. We're out of the woods, says Virginia. That's really good news, Matt.
Yeah, no, that's great news. It looked like a repeat of last year. I'm usually, like I say, I'm always the optimistic person.
Right.
When it comes to injuries, I tend to be the pessimistic guy.
Sure.
And we always hear, well, he's not going to go on the DL right now. But Anthony Rendon,
yeah,
is this looking like a possible DL stint?
I think in this situation, he probably not. It's more of a pain management kind of issue. It doesn't seem like he suffered any fracture or ligament damage or anything. It seems more like there's a buildup under his toenail and he had to have it drained. Very, very painful, but within a few weeks, he should be back to normal.
All right, so that's not so bad. I feel like Virginia is much more positive than Dr. I.
Yes, I agree. That? Definitely.
I feel like we get good news more often than Virginia than we do from Dr.
Dr. A gives us bad news and then goes to Europe and all around the world.
Yeah, exactly. it's insane. He just thinks he could just drop bad news on us and then gallivant throughout Europe. Unbelievable. Biden, who you got?
Tommy Pham.
Yeah.
What's going on with that groin? I mean, he pinch hit the other night, but they did call up Tyler O'Neill.
Harrison Bader getting starts. I know people like both O'Neill and Bader. What is going on with Tommy Pham, Virginia?
So they're saying it's a mild groin strain. They're not planning to place him on the DL. He has not undergone an MRI, which really does indicate that they don't think it's very serious. But groin strains can be incredibly tricky.
Yeah.
We're actually showing at least 2 weeks to heal. So he should land on the DL, so it doesn't look like he's going to. But if they're being smart and cautious with him, they really should place him on the DL to be safe.
Biden, as you said, he pinch hit the other night. If they were going to put him on the DL, he probably wouldn't have done that.
I agree.
So a bit of a surprise to see Tommy Pham pinch hit there, Matt. You thought, especially when they called up Tyler O'Neill, he would get some time.
Yeah, no, the thing with O'Neill was, when they called him up, I thought Pham was more
on the DL.
Because if you're going to have Harrison Bader up and then bring up O'Neill, it seems pretty crowded now. And I think is O'Neill ready? He's probably ready now, deserves a shot, but Bader does as well. So wouldn't you rather keep them going, keep them strong in the minors like O'Neill, and give Bader the full look? I don't know. That seems logical to me, but
it doesn't make – I don't understand it at all. They have such a – I mean, that whole team, I mean, so many extra guys up that may not need to be or not getting the playing time they need or giving playing time to the wrong guys.
I mean, the guy that should be up that they didn't call up is Jack Flaherty. He pitched his first complete game last night.
Ridiculous.
I mean, he's the one for me that got away.
He's amazing.
One of the guys I compete with in pretty much a lot of these leagues that I'm in, he got him every time.
Right.
He took him before me, and I was like, damn it.
Yeah, 100%. Jack Flaherty is going to be awesome. We're talking to Virginia Zakis from Inside Injuries. Check them out. Check her out. Virginia, I know we only have a couple of minutes left with you here. Let me ask you about Mark Trumbo, who's started and stopped his rehab pretty often. It has not been smooth sailing. What's the latest update that you have on him?
So he's been out about 6 weeks. He started a rehab assignment, then was backed off. The team said that he hasn't had a setback, but this definitely sounds like one of those situations where the team is not telling us the truth. You don't slow down a player's rehab unless something else is going on. So still dealing with right quad strain. Injury risk is still pretty high, according to our analytics, and could be looking at least 2 to 3 more weeks on the sidelines.
That's a long time for Mark Trumbo, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, Mark Trumbo was like one of those lottery ticket guys you took very late.
Yeah.
I'm more worried about his
teammate. That's Jonathan Scope. Jonathan Scope was amazing last year at Virginia State, and he's actually always a guy that's pretty healthy, and you don't really worry about the injury. How concerned should we be about his current injury?
Oblique strains can be pretty tricky. An MRI showed a grade one strain. For us, that means 2 to 3 weeks. He jumped up to a high injury risk. His health performance factor is also below average right now, which is a sign that if he returns in the next few days, he's not going to be able to play anywhere near 100%. Oblique strains are very tricky, so he needs to be cautious and make sure he doesn't really start putting the bat and doing too much before his oblique is healed.
There's the negative for Virginia that we've been waiting for all day. We finally
she's
got to
drop one.
Yeah. She does have to drop one in.
I think Dr. A has that mandatory.
You can't be employed by inside injuries unless you show a little pessimism every once in a while. Finally here, Virginia, our last question. What's the latest update here on Irvin Santana? Actually, I have two questions. This is the second last one. What's the latest update here on Irvin Santana? I know fantasy owners are eagerly anticipating his return.
So his recovery has been a lot slower than we expected and a lot slower than the team expected. We thought he was going to start throwing around late March. He just started the throwing program last week. But it sounds like that's going pretty well so far. He could be around 6 to 8 weeks away from rejoining the rotation if everything continues to go well. There's not too much long-term concern with this injury that he had, but it's just a very slow recovery right now.
Yeah, it is. So, okay, that's pretty much, I think, Matt and Greg, where we kind of expected Irvin Santana to come back, right?
I mean, I didn't take any shares of him.
Yeah.
Because when a pitcher starts the season on the DL like that.
Yeah.
I'd rather gamble somewhere else.
And, like, Santana's upside isn't, like, great. I mean, I think he's a good pitcher, and especially in deeper leagues, he has value and stuff. But I'm not going to hold a guy for 2 months that's not like an elite type player.
Sure.
He's also the type of guy that's a better major league pitcher than fantasy.
Probably
pitcher.
So.
Yeah,
probably,
but I mean,
so.
He doesn't have that value just for the innings and, you know, like even a 3.84 ERA is not bad. It's pretty good.
Especially in an American only league.
Yeah. AL only, definitely.
Virginia, final question. He wasn't on our list, but I do have to ask him. I'm contractually obligated. Brandon Finnegan returned to the rotation last weekend. He got rocked because he's not very good. Is he healthy now, though?
Yeah, we're showing that he actually, I think, is back at an elevated injury risk. So he's definitely improving and is pretty close to being back at full strength.
This is how you know Virginia knows us.
Yes.
There is no mention of Brandon Finnegan anywhere, and she was ready for it.
Preparation is key.
Preparation is key.
Know your players.
Know your Brandon Finnegans is really what it is. Know your Nando DeFinos. Virginia Zakas, Inside Injuries. Thanks so much for hanging out with us, and I will do it again.
Yeah, thanks, y'all. It's always a good time.
Awesome. Thank you so much. We're going to sign off our digital properties now. Say goodbye to YouTube. Say goodbye, Twitch, Periscope, all that good stuff. And wrap up the show for the final couple of minutes on the radio and on television. Did you pull anybody else in there, Greg, you wanted to talk about?
Yeah. Cody Bellinger.
Cody, oh, belly bombs over there.
Belly bombs, baby.
You don't hear, no one's talking about him, but he's quietly putting up some good numbers.
Yeah, you know.
It's like completely under the radar.
So I'll say this. So I own... in my home league, I own Corey Seager and I own Yasmani Grandal. So I'm always checking on the Dodgers box score. And every time I look, Modica, belly bomb, belly bomb, belly bomb. That's all it is.
Grandal's been pretty damn good, too.
He has been.
Corey Seager's been I think too. Corey Seager will get better.
He's picking it up. He'll be fine.
The thing here, just to sidetrack a little, I think all those guys we mentioned are going to be good. The guy to keep an eye on is in the minor leagues in Oklahoma City, and that is Alex Verdugo. Once Matt
you love
slows
Alex Verdugo.
Down, this guy can. They brought him up end of last year. This guy can hit. He's a player. Everybody says he's MLB ready. And as you saw last year, the Dodgers got a major jolt when they brought up Bellinger, and he's a guy that you know can hit the ball. He's not going to be that swing and miss guy and
right.
all that. So. I'm intrigued.
Anyway, by the way, so I just looked up Bellinger, how many home runs he has. He only has two on the year. I'm floored. You could have tripled that number, and that's exactly what I thought it would be.
Yeah,
I'm
well, shocked maybe it's like late night, you know, you're missing some of these box, you know, games, and every time you happen to look, you see the home run.
I think it's just I see him getting hits, and he's only driven in 5 runs, which I don't understand because I thought he's driven in like 75.
On base there.
15 runs scored, which is obviously very, very strong. He's batting over 300, which is great.
He'll be fine.
And how about this? The K percentage is down 19%. Last year was at 26. So to see it down to 19%.
If he can maintain like a 20 or low 20s, that's excellent.
He's not walking anymore, though, which is a bit of a concern. Anybody else?
Yeah, Victor Robles.
Victor Robles.
Damn shame. Because I look, it's working out the way I thought. He was my stash batter in all these leagues. And I figured, look, there's a chance Taylor hits his way out of the lineup. There's a chance Adam Eaton's not fully healthy. Yeah, besides stealing bases, Taylor's batting like one something. Adam Eaton, I thought, possibly not fully healthy because that was a catastrophic injury last year.
Yep.
And it was all working out perfectly. And then he hyperextends his elbow.
And then
it's so how long is he out for? Is it like 2 months at least?
Goodwin went on the DL too.
Yep.
Wide open for him. And
when's Adam Eaton coming back?
I think he might be coming back this weekend.
They said they could today.
Perfect. That's great.
But I would still have concerns
on the table.
How healthy that leg ankle is.
Matt Modica, Greg Bynum, this has been very, very fun. Jake Seeley, who is a pleasure to deal with today as well.
The Beast!
We expect Nando DeFino back on Monday. Have a fantastic weekend, everybody. This has been a blast. For Greg, for Virginia, for Matt, for Jay, for everybody downstairs, my name is Greg Sussman. Have a fantastic day. The BFFs are up next.